Welcome to another interesting Engineer IT podcast. I'm Hans van der Groenendaal, and I'm talking to Dion Gijzer, CEO of Liquid Intelligent Technologies. Dion and I are discussing cybersecurity. Dion, why did Liquid get involved in cybersecurity, and what is the company offering its customers?
I think it's important, Hans, from our business perspective, that we look at the market dynamics and what's happening in the ICT landscape today, if we can start with that answer first. And what's quite clear from an industry perspective is that, you know, I believe if I look at our customers, that the industry in South Africa is not yet fully aware of the related cybersecurity risk and threats, which is actually in the industry. You know, I was in my recent joining since the start of the year, you know, I've had more than probably 90 customer meetings by now. And while the larger corporates and specifically banks in certain segments fully understand the risk associated with cybersecurity, I do believe that there's a big part of our medium and small medium enterprise businesses, and even some of the larger corporates, which don't fully understand the associated risks around cybersecurity. And as Liquid, you know, we have been running the security operations centers for some of our large enterprise and large public sector customers. And we realized that as people moved to working from home, and with that, the associated risk has increased significantly, you know, we believe that there's a great opportunity for us to actually take the approach that we've applied in some of our larger contracts and actually adopt that and create the capability to offer that across our entire base. You know, with the arrival of cloud-related services and with people working from anywhere, you know, you have this mix where people don't actually enter into a predefined perimeter where there's cybersecurity and controls in an office place. You know, people enter into their work environment from an IT perspective, from home or anywhere. They don't necessarily use the associated VPN-related services. At the same time, globally, the amount of security-related threats have increased significantly, and we believe it's a great opportunity for us to apply our methodology across our customer base. And that methodology, Hans, is driven around the fact that, you know, we've taken our approach around the information security management system, building that around ISO 27001. And our approach really is to help our corporate customers with the identification, detection, the management of the security-related threats and risk, and helping them to detect and address, and then at the end of the day, react to cybersecurity-related threats. You know, and many of the associated risks is not always technology or only people from the outside. I believe, and what I've seen in our own business, and a lot of these, Hans, is also what we are adopting as our own business as part of our information security protocols, is the fact that generic users and generic people aren't fully aware of the associated risk that's actually out there with, you know, basic related topics around malware, around phishing, you know, if you take spam-related topics, identity theft. You know, the generic market today does not fully understand the risks that is associated around those. And therefore, we believe that, you know, the approach that we have from a company perspective and with the products that we're offering around that will actually address the risks for our customers. So what we've done is we've taken our information security management system framework and we built a set of products to help our customers address, identify, and manage and resolve these related risks. And we built a consulting service to help our customers understand and help them identify and help them manage that. We've built a managed services proposal whereby, you know, we will actually manage with our customers the security-related environment and threats and help them actually put in place their own ISMS capability. And then we're also offering to the market a security operations center, which if people feel that, look, as a medium enterprise, I don't want to build my own capability, I would like a partner to actually manage that on my behalf, you know, we're putting that in place. And of course, then for the larger customers that want to own some of the technology elements, we've also built an array of products dealing with the associated relevant risks around that. And of course, we do that hand in hand with a set of really global, strong partners. that we're bringing into the market. And we believe that, you know, from a capability perspective, we are very well placed if you look at it in South Africa. But remember, in liquid intelligent technology, you know, we operate across 15 countries. So it's a great asset for us also to extrapolate that for our multinational customers and for the relevant enterprises that's sitting across the continent.
We see and read about so many different risks, but what do you believe is the single biggest factor that leads to compromises and data breaches?
I believe it's still the human factor, Hans, and we actually believe as a company, because we see that in our own business, you know, where people don't fully understand the associated risks and how phishing actually appears, the use of malware, basic hygiene factors on the way that you actually run your IT operations and the people use IT technology on a day-to-day basis. You know, examples thereof are people responding to phishing attacks. If you look at the example of people visiting malicious sites, you know, on computer technology, which, yes, the company provides, but on the outside, you know, people don't actually fully understand the associated risks that those bring in. You know, and that leads to a number of other aspects where people can actually get into your network. And it's not only related to your own company. You know, I take our business, we have quite a big set of suppliers. Our risk is not only our own people, our risk is also our suppliers. Because if they are a victim of identity theft, you know, we sit with a risk that someone can act on behalf of a company and request payments into different bank accounts as an example. And therefore, those examples that I use, you can see a big part of that is actually the human factor in our own business and in the industry in a bigger picture. And that's also why I mentioned that, you know, we're using a lot of our own enabling of our own ISMS framework and that we're implementing internally to expose that to the bigger market because of the fact that we do see that associated risks, not in our own business, but we do see that with the industry around us.
But, you know, working from home is becoming the next norm or the normal. Isn't that creating greater threats?
Absolutely. You know, as I mentioned at the start, in the normal world, people would arrive at the office, they would enter with, you know, an access card, they would go to sit in their workstation, and they would be in a secure perimeter from an IT perspective, where the company security protocols would actually address the associated IT security risks and preventing, for example, visiting of incorrect sites, you know, what software can be downloaded and not. And now you've moved those people to home. And while as a business you've protected your company with the perimeter that you've set up and the controls you've set up, is now you're trusting that the person at home will actually be using VPN services. They would be actually more mature about the handling of related IT products, but it is a much bigger risk. And if you add on top of that cloud services, where you know you actually come in and out of VPN environments and you look at multi-cloud environments, you know, the, I might want to call it, the bad guys are sitting actually everywhere in the different environments that your IT traffic is flowing and the way people are using the technology from home. So absolutely, Hans. I mean, it is a significant increase. And of course, on top of that, if you look at the trends globally with the amount of security hacks and attacks, if you put the two together, it's actually culminating the associated risk.
You know, you did allude to non-technical security controls and so on. What advice do you have for your customers?
From my perspective, the first part is actually that piece of really looking at your information security management system and getting support in place in order to understand the risk. I mean, I've spoken personally, Hans, to in these 90 customer meetings, I've probably had close to 10 of them where in the recent 6 to 9 months, they've had security hacks and major security issues, you know, major security breaches. And the other guys probably just haven't told us about them, you know. So the threat is increasing, and I believe the first part of that is acknowledging that there is a major security threat in the industry and doing something about that. The second part is then looking at your incident response and recovery and basic procedures. You know, how do you manage that? Where do I take my backups? How do I address basic IT protocol? And that's not technology, right? That is purely following standard IT process and living in the protocols that you've set in your business. And as we just said, you know, because people are working from home, many people aren't adhering to the company's IT policy. And that is a big threat. And how are you implementing that with people working from home? And then the third part is, as I mentioned, is a big part of what we see is becoming more and more of a risk is we in a community. I can manage my IT security threat, but is my supplier doing the same? And how do I ensure that the ecosystem that I work with is actually to the same level of standard? I'm looking at it from my business perspective. You know, more and more, Hans, I'm hearing, and if we speak to the bank specifically, you see more and more the issue around identity-related theft. You know, when people are putting money into wrong bank accounts, it's a major problem in the current industry. And how do I know that actually my partners are trusted? What is my policies and processes to actually identify and manage that, which is people-driven, you know, because typically that exposes usually gaps in the process that people were supposed to follow in addressing some of these related underlying matters. So I, from my perspective, from the outside, without looking at technology, is go through a process of understanding the risk and you know, realize there is a risk and what do you do about that? You know, because many of that you actually don't need to necessarily use technology for. Number two is look at how are people applying the policies and procedures that's already there. And number three is actually then saying, but okay, that's fine for me, but what about my suppliers and my ecosystem that I actually live in and work in? And then I just want to add on top of that, you know, nowadays with cloud-related services, there's quite a number of, I would say, really great tools that's coming with software as a service in terms of cloud-native security controls. You know, many of the cloud services providers already inbuilt into that, you know, a fair amount of security controls in order to actually protect you and your business if you use them. So it's no longer traditionally you have to go and build some of the capability in your own data center and in your own IT capability. Use what is it out in the market. And we are quite a front runner of trying to use the technologies and software as a service and cloud related services that is out there, you know, our security operations center, in order to offer those services for our customers, because they don't have to then invest in the technology and all the people in order to run it themselves. So because the industry is also growing from that perspective, I do believe that outside of the basics is really go and have a look at what is out in the market and the industry in order to facilitate that.
To continue your engagement with Dion Gijzer and Liquid Intelligent Technologies, visit their website at www.liquid.tech. Thank you for joining us on today's podcast.